tell everyone about Midnight Drags and how you started the project.
Well, essentially, it was. I'd always written and always kind of, you know, I always had a little home studio and always just done stuff myself. So my initial kind of songwriting forays were for other people, really. I started writing. I'm going to give you the long version here, but I started kind of writing probably late 20s, early 30s, which is kind of, you know, 10-ish years ago now. And you know, the idea was always to kind of write for other artists. I loved writing, but I just wasn't interested in kind of, you know, doing it myself. It just wasn't on my kind of radar at that point. So, to cut a long story short, time goes by and kind of got a bunch of these songs that no one really kind of wanted to do. I wasn't making the right connections. So I decided, look, you know what, I'm gonna make my own album. So I kind of put an album out that was just all me, basically doing everything. I just did it in my spare room, which was cool, but limiting. But this was about 4 years ago. And then kind of I started just working on some more stuff and realized I just couldn't go through that process again. I couldn't do it myself. It was just, you know, it's a very lonely existence kind of trying to do that. So this time I was adamant that I had to play with other great musicians. So that was the impetus, kind of just me wanting to make music with other great musos, which is something I hadn't done in a long time. You know, my music had just been played by me, and I'd kind of done everything. So then it was just kind of just getting together the right group of people, and I kind of met Ash Naylor we had a mutual friend who'd kind of been, for years, had been kind of trying to hook us up because, you know, knew we had a lot in common and whatever else. It never happened. But I met him through a session that came into my studio, an artist, a young country artist, basically hired Paul Kelly's whole band for his album. So that was cool. So I got to kind of meet Ash and hang out a bit and kind of watch him play and just get a feel for his kind of love and passion of music and knowledge. And I hit him up a bit later about helping me with my new project, and he was like, yeah man, I'll come down and we'll have a listen. So he came to my studio and I played him some of my demos, and yeah, he was keen. So we kind of started from there. We then just kind of pieced together the right people who, you know, we thought would be best for the project, knowing it was a kind of pretty rocky kind of thing. He recommended a couple of players he knew quite well, being Wolfie, Brett Wolfenden, on drums, who's a phenomenal, I don't know if you know him, but he's a phenomenal, phenomenal rock drummer. So that was really cool. And then, yeah, the bass stuff was kind of handled between an old kind of bandmate of mine, Warren Booth, who I'd played with for years, and then, Bill McDonald came in and played on a couple of tracks too. So that was that's the kind of the nucleus of the studio band, as I call them. And then, you know, then I had a few other friends and people kind of play some other bits and pieces, a bit of Rhodes and piano and a little bit of Hammond on there as well. So that was it. It was just, you know, really just me wanting to expand my kind of, you know, my musicality, I guess, in the album, meaning not just me, you know, musicality from other people, and just allow them to kind of be part of the process.
Okay, and you've got the single out, Ronnie. Tell me the story behind the song.
Yeah, Ronnie's out now, and it's our first single, which I'm excited about. So the song, I mean, it's probably the most kind of, I'd say it's probably the most poppy, kind of power poppy, I call it, song on the album. And the funny thing is, the song kind of was, when I started writing it, was loosely based on someone I know who'd done some naughty things and ended up going to jail. And so I always wanted to write something kind of about that without being too direct. So it's a kind of loose, as I say, it's a loosely based tale of what happens when someone goes to jail and how the other person, you know, their partner kind of handles things on the outside and what that can, you know, devolve into, being drugs and alcohol and just a downward spiral of depression anguish. So for the relatively dark subject matter, it's a kind of almost a bit upbeat, you know, the actual song and the music, I think, which is a nice balance, which is kind of something I try and do a bit too with my music. If it's quite a dark, story, I like to kind of balance it out with some more poppy, mountain melodic movements. So, I think I got the balance kind of right, but yeah.
Yep, and you've got a video that accompanies it. It's pretty out there, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so same thing, you know, I kind of was working with an amazing Indonesian kind of graphic artist, illustrator / animator, who'd been recommended to me through another friend who'd done some stuff with him. And I just liked his kind of scrappy, kind of sloppy style. I mean, it's kind of rough and really kind of hand-drawn kind of style, but it just... something about that just spoke to me, so I kind of played in the song and said, look, would you be prepared to kind of put something to this song? And he loved the song, and I just said, look, do your thing, this is what it's about, here's the lyrics, just do your thing. So he kind of came back to me with what you see. I mean, there might have been just a couple of small little notes, but generally I just let him do his thing, and I was really happy with what he did. It's kind of bizarre and kind of sad and crazy and weird, and I think it fits. So, yeah.
And you're looking to have an album out next year. Is it completed? And how many songs are you looking to put on it?
Yeah, so the album's done. So the album's been done for a little while. It probably got finished, kind of finished mixing kind of early this year, maybe. It's probably done by April, May, I'd say. And then we just kind of, I did a little bit of mastering work. And then so now it's finished. So there's 9 songs on the album. We might release another single or two, depends. I'll work that out and kind of chat to the guys and see what the vibe is. But so the album, I want to release that early next year. 9 tracks and a couple of instrumentals, which is fun. It's called Bad Business. And that's I'm really proud of it. We recorded the tape and the band just kicked ass. The band were unbelievable. So it's pretty exciting to be putting something, know that something's coming out that means so much. So, yeah, can't wait for that to get out.
And you're recording in your own studio. So by recording in your own studio, do you feel that drives a bit more inspiration because you've got a bit of the familiarity and comfort?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I think... it's also good for the wallet too.
Yeah.
But look, yeah, it's nice being not having to watch a clock. I mean, you know, so many musicians would know when you're in a studio, you know, an external studio, you can kind of sometimes don't have the liberty of just taking all the time you want, especially as an independent artist. You've got to kind of stick to your budget and so to have no time constraints, and we can kind of go and rehearse there and get everything right, and then spend as much time we want recording, you know, albeit within the parameters of the guys' schedules and all that stuff. But it was really nice to be able to have a comfortable place that I knew well and the guys knew well too, to make our magic from. So that was great.
Cool. When it comes to your songwriting process, do you start with riffs or melodies or lyrics?
Generally, it's from, a riff or just a progression, just a chord progression that I'm just messing about on. The way I generally write is kind of, chords and melody first. I'll just hum or mumble over a riff or chords and just kind of do that kind of, you know, for the next however long while recording it. I'll just have my phone or something next to me and just kind of be recording it bit by bit and adding and building to it and building on it. And then once I feel I've got a good kind of base of a kind of, you know, verse melody and a chorus melody, I'll then start kind of reverse engineering and trying to fit either an existing idea or story into that, you know, into kind of the melody that I've been kind of mouthing in a sense. that's generally the way I work. Occasionally, I'll have lyrics kind of done, or you know, a bunch of scribbles and pages of sentences and this and that. I'll have them there ready to go, and then work that kind of work the other way around and try and write a song around that. Which it happens, and I've done it a few times, but it's generally not the usual way I work. I find it much more easy and quicker to kind of work. To come up with the melody and the sound first rather than the story.
Okay, and when it comes to songwriting, do you have particular influences that, like, you know, artists that influence you as a songwriter specifically?
I think there'd be heaps of influences that I don't even know are there. I can't hear them in my music, but I reckon, you know, just kind of years and years of listening and loving certain artists would probably rub off in some way. So subconsciously, I'm sure there's heaps, but I probably couldn't even name. But the ones that I think I could, you know, I could kind of pinpoint would be probably guys like David Bowie, Prince, Neil Finn was a big early influence too. Elliot Smith, I think. Amazing, and I was, you know, huge fan of his, still am. I was more into kind of hard rock and metal, mm-hmm. I reckon, when I was young. Probably I loved things like, you know, Alice in Chains and Pantera and all these kind of grunge, and kind of loved it. Just guitar music, that was, I just, anything with kind of loud guitars and a solo, I reckon I was pretty happy. When I was really young, one of the first shows I saw was Alice in Chains in Melbourne. At, might have been the Palais.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do the show. Lane was so out of it. They got through like about two songs and he was just too fucked. They couldn't do the song. They kind of trashed the stage. And then they came back out. Not Lane, but the band came back out with Rocky George from Suicidal Tendencies. And just started kind of jamming with him for a little bit. They put the drums back together. They started jamming with him for a bit. Then they started just getting people up out of the audience to come up and play guitar. It was a beautiful disaster.
Okay, and you mentioned recording to tape earlier. What do you think that brings to the overall sound of a project as opposed to the modern digital stuff?
Well, there's two kind of aspects that I really like. The first one is the sound, which I think, especially drums onto tape, is just a beautiful thing. And we did all the drums, bass and my rhythm guitar to tape live, and then we did some overdubs, so we would have probably overdubbed Ash and some of my overdubs digitally once we'd transferred the tape onto the hard drive. So we kind of recorded everything, the rhythm stuff onto tape, and then kind of bounced it down onto the hard drive and then did some overdubs after that. But so the sound factor I love, just something about just, yeah, something about a good, decent tape machine with drums through a decent tape machine, it just is unbelievable. And then also just, it changes the way you form, I think, too, knowing you're kind of recording to tape, because tape's a real pain in the bum to kind of, to edit and to overdub and to replace parts. It can be done, but it's just a bit of a pain, and it's kind of a tricky thing to do. So you want to commit the right take. So there's not much of saying, oh look, you know, that was good, but I stuffed up that, you know, little chorus bit there, I'll just go in and punch that in. So no, we had to get it right, kind of the three of us, when we were tracking it. So it made us commit, it made us kind of do it the hard way, but I think it pays off when you know you're not going to get a chance to kind of fix up any little mistakes. So you got to be sharp, you got to be on your game, but I think it gets a better performance.
Great. Tell me who you're listening to at the moment.
I kind of sit at my desk and work and write and do stuff, and I've got my record player right next to me and a bunch of records. So I listen to a lot of old records. What did I have on today? I had Aretha Franklin, Young, Gifted and Black, was getting a spin today. Funkadelic, America Eats Its Young. Been getting played a fair bit, which is a double album, which is nuts. What else? Bit of jazz. I love listening to old jazz guys, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie. But then, yeah, tomorrow might be Rolling Stones or Dire Straits or Rod Stewart. So, but yeah, the last couple of days it was more of a soul kind of funky R&B thing, which was cool.
Perfect. And finishing up, have you got any final words for everyone out there?
No, just stay safe, stay sane, and be good to one another.
Awesome, mate. We look forward to hearing the possible next single and the album next year.
Yeah, Andrew, that'd be good. I'll make sure you get a listen when there's something else to that we're putting out. I'll make sure it gets across.